Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners to our program today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What makes a person cry says a lot about that person. We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, it is recorded that while you were here on this earth, you cried over Jerusalem. We can't but help believe that you cry over America, that you cry over this world that has turned its back on you. Grant, O God, that there may be a sensitivity in our hearts that causes us to weep when we see the sinfulness within our own being, but also in that sin that is found round about us. Give us the grace to understand where we go with our tears for relief. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jeremiah the prophet is writing, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, there is that old saying which says, what makes a person cry says an awful lot about that person. If the person is self-centered, he cries for himself. But if he is a compassionate individual, he will weep for others. The prophet Jeremiah is an example of a man who wept over the fate of his people and nation. He was Judah's great prophet. During those days, they were captured by the Babylonians, and he records his tears in the Book of Lamentation, from which our text comes today. Now, I trust that you recall some of Israel's history, and then we'll come to the present condition of which you and I are a part. Israel was God's chosen people. You will recall that God said to Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Out of you will come one who will be the Savior of the world. Abraham believed that, and it was passed on, that promise, to his son Isaac, and then on to Jacob, and then on down to the 12 tribes. They were sometimes a very rebellious crowd, but they still marched under the banner that we are the children of God. Eventually, by their command and demand, they wanted to be like other people and have a king. And so they got kings. The first one was Saul, the second was David, the third was Solomon, and it was during the days of Solomon that that beautiful temple was built in Jerusalem, the pride and joy of the people of God. But then Solomon died, and the kingdom was divided. There were 12 tribes. 10 of them went north and formed the northern kingdom, and 2 went south and formed the southern kingdom known as Judah. The northern kingdom, known as Israel, was finally led away by the enemy, the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. Eventually, in 586, Jerusalem was conquered, the temple was destroyed. The Babylonians took the best, most talented of their people into exile with them. The others they left behind to fend for themselves and to die. But Jerusalem, with its temple, was destroyed. And lamentation is written as Jeremiah walks through the rubbles and weeps for his people. Listen to some of the verses that comes from this man. Just see how in despair he really was. How deserted lies a city. Once it was so full of people, how like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. It's like taking one of our great cities, just bustling with people. So much traffic you can't wait until you can get out of there. And then all of a sudden that busy city like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, whatever the city might be, and suddenly it is deserted. Jeremiah looked at that and he said, what in the world has happened? He goes on and he says, all her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Ah, yeah, there was a day when people turned to Israel. But now they simply turned away, for she was their enemy. All of her gateways were desolate, and her priest groaned. He writes, Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. All who honored her now despise her. All of her people groan as they search for bread. Once again, Jeremiah wept over his nation. Now, my question is this, friend. Is it unpatriotic to even imagine that such destruction could come to a nation like that today? Or to be more specific, could it come to our nation, the nation that we love? I pray with our whole being, and I certainly do. Well, when you stop and think about it and you listen to enough of the newscast, you say, no, it couldn't happen. We are so well defended and we continue to build and build and build. We are the superpower of the world. We have all of the hardware that's necessary to conquer anyone. But again, I raise the question, it goes far beyond the military, far beyond that which is human, far beyond the laboratories. Could there come a time for us as a people that God would say, enough is enough. You charted your own course. You depended on your own strength. You gave me only lip service. Your heart was far from me. Shattering thoughts, aren't they? Well, they are for those of us who are Christians. I imagine the unbeliever would laugh and say, what fable have you picked up? But we have to ask ourselves the question, for whom do we weep? For that has an awful lot to say about us as a people. If there is not some weeping that goes on when we look around us, then I wonder if there isn't something drastically wrong with us. Permit me to draw a very sullen picture of some of the things that go on in our society. For example, friends, we are a nation whose prisons are full and we continue to build more, whose streets are unsafe for fear that women can be raped and murdered, whose business establishments are marred with dishonesty to the point that it sends the stock market a-flying and we can't seem to recover, whose children are born in large percentages in homes that soon will be broken. We are a country whose fetuses are aborted by the thousands in any given week. That isn't a very pretty picture, is it? And yet, this is the land that you and I love. It is the land of opportunity. It is a land where world leaders in every area of life have been born and educated. It is a land where people have gone forth to other parts of the world and blessed it in abundance. It is the land where families have had the privilege of raising and educating their children to enjoy the good things of life. It is a land where we lived under one God. We wouldn't want to live in any other place, would we? But we still see the moral and spiritual rubble falling all around us. And the demonic fires are destroying the foundations on which our blessed land was established. How can we help but join with Jeremiah and lament over our land? It is only because we love it. It is not that we hate it and want to get rid of it. We love it. We want to have it made right. And what about our churches? That's the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. This is the body of Christ who brought us the saving message of our blessed Lord, who assured us that through his suffering and his death at the cross of Calvary, he had paid the price for our sins, who assured us that if we would trust him and let him enter into our lives, he would walk with us through tough days and good days, and he would promise us when this life was over, a home with him in heaven. This is the church. This is the message of the church, that with undefined conviction brought this message with all of the hope that a person could ever want to have. I think of a street in this country where I grew up as a little boy. I recall that day when my grandma died upstairs in her bedroom. And I recall the pastor coming, the family gathering around her bedside as she breathed her last, little ones as well as the old ones, to have the reality of life of what death really was. And then to hear the pastor say, "And now she has gone home to be with Jesus." This was my church. This was my church that really brought me the confidence that I needed and the comfort and the security to say goodbye to that old lady who had meant a great deal in my life. On that very same street, right next to Grandma, there came one day a military representative to ring the doorbell and to say to the young widow there of five children, "The United States government regrets to tell you that your husband has been killed in the service of his country, and he will not be coming home." There she was. Her husband was dead in the Battle of the Bulge under George Patton, fighting for the country that he loved. And then here came the flock of believers who gathered round that widow, not just for a few hours, not just for a few days, but walked with her through much of the time that she was raising those children in the formative years. This was my church that assembled on Sunday morning and said, "And I believe in the Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints." This is where believers came with a message of promise. This is my church, where as a child I was taught the Ten Commandments. On the old hard benches of the church, nothing of a nice Sunday school room. But there we learned all 10 of them, thou shalt not, and they were the laws that God gave us for our own personal benefit. And this is what we stood with and walked with through life, for they were the absolutes of God. And when you grow old, they're still the absolutes of God. This is where the positive message of the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of salvation through Christ Jesus alone was proclaimed in love from hearts that burned with the gospel. But that's why sometimes I weep. I weep for the church. For while there is still an awful lot of that going on in the evangelical wing of the church, there is a part of that church that has said, "Well, we don't deal with that anymore. It is not relative. It's not for our day. It's a different day. What's different about it? Well, the Bible is viewed differently. 50 years ago, our seminaries taught that the Bible is a word of God, and it is this divine truth that is going to mold our society's thinking. Today, there is a strong voice which says the Bible must listen to what our culture is teaching. For in some cases, the biblical teaching must be influenced by the culture. That is death for the church. If this be the case, what is our authority in the church? Then you decide and I decide what in the Bible is the truth for us. Then there is no objective authority, and we begin to see the spiritual decline. For who has any conviction anymore, if that is the way that it is? And you weep because you love that body that Christ has put on this earth. Is there any hope? Yeah, there is. We turn back to Jeremiah. He remembered God had given Israel a promise. And the promise was that Israel was going to bless this whole world. God was going to bless Israel to become a blessing. Certainly didn't look like it now. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was gone. The prophets were dead. Where would he go? But let me read you once more what Jeremiah says in the 31st chapter, that 21st verse. I called to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Great is your faithfulness. It is new every morning. Jeremiah did not live to see it, but 70 years later, the city of Jerusalem was rebuilt. Now here is the gospel. This is what I want you to take, people. No matter how difficult the day and how bitter the tears might be, God has not forsaken his promise. What is his promise? His promise is that when he returns, the church of Jesus Christ will be standing. Great is his faithfulness. He will not forsake these promises. Therefore, we can smile through our tears and sing through our teeth. Great is thy faithfulness. What a lesson in how to handle discouragements. What a lesson to learn that with God's faithfulness, the sun still shines. Security comes from trusting God's faithfulness. Oh, let's sing, and let us sing it often. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this blessed history of ours. We thank you for every good gift that has come our way to draw us into a closer and a stronger relationship with you. Today, O God, we pray for those institutions and people who are close to us, those we love, our nation and our church. God in heaven, we sometimes weep, not because we are so righteous ourselves, but because we see how as a part of that nation and that church, we have gone away. Help us to understand that you alone can bring us back. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that Pastor Larson's message will enrich your life today and throughout the coming week. Christian Crusaders is supported by gifts from our listeners. Some of you send a gift each week, and some of you send a gift once a year. All of your gifts enable us to buy radio time on 34 stations across the nation to share the gospel message. We thank each of you for your generous giving. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.